Turn this morning to 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8, we're looking at one verse of Scripture, verse 56. 1 Kings 8. And this is, I pray that this series this month has been a blessing to you, because we are blessed. And I pray that the Lord has ministered to you in a special way. And I pray that God is changing us. I'll say that again. I pray that God is changing us. I'll say it one more time. I pray that God is changing us. Do you know that's what He's about doing? That you hadn't arrived? Did you tell the person next to you, you hadn't arrived? This is your opportunity, I mean, to just really say it. You hadn't arrived, my brother. You have not arrived, my sister. No, we have room to grow here. There is this transformation that is going on will not culminate until we see Him face to face. When you put on that glorified body, then you can say, I got here, I arrived. I'm with Him. I'll be like Him. But until then, there's some change that needs to take place in our lives. And so that's what we believe each and every week through every message, through every teaching, that God is ever changing us, growing us. We want to be transformed. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He's wanting to get us where we need to be. I'm being transformed continually by the renewing of my mind. He's wanting to prove in my life what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. He's wanting us, we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, created for good works. But we're a work in progress, and we're still under construction. So let's remember that. 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There has not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised through His servant Moses. I want you just to see there has not failed one word of all His good promise. Not one word has failed of all of God's good promise. And so today we're looking at the fact that we have been blessed with a promise. Blessed with a promise. I'm reminded today of John 10:10 that tells us the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it the more abundantly. Now, to me, that passage of Scripture brings a certain expectation. I want us to understand that this expectation, with expectation, there's anticipation. That God is doing something wonderful in me. That He is not like the devil. He is not like Satan. He's not like the thief. But Jesus came that we have life and have it the more abundantly. And so that idea of the abundance of life, there's no reason for us to be shamed by that statement in a world and many times where we see so much that is impoverished in our world. Sometimes we will do what the Scripture never intended, and that is to reject certain passages of Scripture. But there's an abundance, but we need to understand what that really is. There's abundance that God gives us depending on the situation, depending on the time in our life, depending on what's going on in our life, when we are under the will of God, when we are desiring to walk in His will, many times the blessing I need is not financial. Many times what the abundance that I'm needing may be something else, but at other times it may be a financial need in my life. It may be that is, and there's some times when He gives abundance so that somebody else can be blessed. Again, because we're blessed to bless. And so we want to see today that this is God's plan. He has there's a promise. There's promises for our life. He has a promise for blessing in our life. And so for us to grab hold of this thought today, we must understand what our text says, that concerning God speaking over something, concerning a promise of God, when He declares something, it doesn't fall to the ground. It's not lost. It's I love Isaiah 55:11 says that His word doesn't return unto Him void. It accomplishes what it's been sent forth to accomplish. And so we understand the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also consider today 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 that we've mentioned in previous weeks. Concerning the promises of God, they are yea and amen, yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Centered in Him, a life centered in the will of God, a life that is following Jesus Christ, a person who knows the Lord, who's in Christ, His promises are yes and amen. His promises are conditioned in Jesus Christ. That's what that means. His promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. When I'm living contrary to Jesus, I am outside of that promise. I'm living outside of that blessing. And we sometimes people say, well, that's not fair. No, it's God. God never said, and I want to tell you, you need to thank God today that God's not fair. If God was fair, every one of us in here would be in bad shape. I have decided fairness is not what I'm looking for from God. I'm looking for grace. I'm looking for mercy. I'm looking for His Word to be performed in my life. If I'm looking for fairness, then there can be a lot of things that I come up under and that would not be the abundance that we are promised in this day. But we must understand that there is conditions, and it's related to Christ. It does not mean that if I look at an individual's life, that I have the freedom to judge whether or not they're in Christ. Would you say amen to that? Because I don't know what God is doing. God can be accomplishing something in somebody's life that's beyond my ability to see. And sometimes what appears to be blessing in somebody's life is not a blessing from God. I've mentioned previously there was a church in Revelation that the Lord said Himself, they think they're increased in goods and have need of nothing, but they're poor and blind and miserable. So what my eye may see may be very wrong. That's why I have to hold to the promises of God and the declaration of the Word that says they are yes and amen over me in Christ Jesus. So I want to make sure that I'm standing in Christ Jesus, that I'm in His will, that I'm walking in His way, that I'm walking in forgiveness. I'm walking in a life of repentance. That I'm standing before Him in purity. not because of who I am, but because of who He is, and because I can present myself to Him. And we know there's something we've got to do daily. Jesus said that daily we were to die to ourselves, and daily we were to take up our cross and follow Him. And may God help us to surrender to His purposes and will and calling. And so we see the promise of the Lord. Now, when we think about promises, we got to think about the promise maker. The promise maker, and a person who makes a promise, is one who says, I will do this or not to do this, and they give specifics for that. So it's a specific promise. I promise to do or not do something concerning something very specific. Well, God is a promise maker. He is a promise keeper. Sometimes people are very good at making promises, but perhaps not good at keeping promises. Our God is a promise maker and keeper. He does not stand and make a promise with his fingers crossed behind his back. Did you ever do that when you was a kid? Just be real. Raise your hand. I just want to see seven people did that. Raise your hand. Admit that in the presence of God if you ever did that. You see, that was as a kid, you know, don't tell mama. And then you tell mama, you told me you weren't going to tell mama. I had my fingers crossed. And that was, the fingers crossed was like the out for breaking a promise. God is not like that. God is not standing with the great fingers of the universe crossed behind his back to try and manipulate us into doing something for a certain purpose. No, he's with hands wide open so you can see. He always does things in honesty and integrity. He makes his promises to us. He's a promise maker. He is a promise keeper. He is not in any way just telling us something to get us to do something and then reversing what he has committed himself to. That's not how he operates. Now we all know that, but I said that because you and I, we must learn from that. He sets the example for us as promise makers and keepers, and he desires that we be like him, therefore that we are people who are good to our word, that we make promises, and we also keep them in the best way, and also that we're very careful not to make a promise. The Bible talks about not making a vow in a rash way without putting a lot of forethought into it. We've got to be careful about what kind of promises we make because it's better to not make a vow than to make a vow and break a vow. It's better not to make the promise than to make it and not keep it. And so it speaks to integrity. It speaks to that level of truthfulness in a person's life, how that we need to make sure that we are trusting and believing wholly in Him and what He says to us. Now the thing about God being such a promise maker, we understand that there are exceeding and great promises the Lord gives us. I think it's 2 Peter 1:4 says, the exceedingly and great promises of God. They're incredible. I mean, they're beyond comprehension. They are verse after verse in the Scriptures we see that we can cling to and hold on to in the midst of our lives. You know, some of those that there's many things that come to mind today, and you can only just barely even touch on just a few things. But the fact that He would never leave us nor forsake us is there's nothing greater than that. There's nothing bigger than that. That He would not leave me nor forsake me, and that I can count on Him. He is with me. And so in the midst of me living my life, for me to be able to take hold of this blessed promise, for me to cling to that this exceedingly and great promise, it brings so much peace to me. That when I pray, I can lean upon that reality. I can hold to that and have great confidence that when the Lord declares something, that it can be counted upon. Now, I wanted to tell you that these promises that God gives and keeps in our life is the grounds for hope in our life. It's the grounds for expectation in our life. It's the grounds for assurance in mine and your life. I think of that. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You see, that very line there of truth concerning my relationship with God is not based on anything but a promise. The songwriter didn't write that if they had no sense of assurance. But they wrote that word because they had assurance, because God had made certain statements in Scripture regarding salvation, regarding putting our faith and trust in the Lord, and therefore we have assurance. The hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing, standing. I ain't hear nobody do it. I'm standing on the promises of God. But I love that because that's based on the Word. The Word of God, that I can stand on this truth. I can hope in that. I can have assurance. I can have a sense of expectation, because when God's Word, God Himself makes a declaration in His Word concerning His people, I can hold to that. And so when I pray, I lean upon the truth of His Word. You see, I can't stand on something that is outside of the Word. Outside of the Word of God, it wavers. And I believe that's what Hebrews 10 and 23 talks about. Hebrews 10 and 23 talks about hold fast the confession of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Without wavering, hold fast to it, it says. Without wavering. because it's these promises that we can cling to and hold to, but and we don't have to waver in it because they're promises that come from God. And so we can, he's saying, to hold fast to your profession of the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And you can do that without wavering because God's promises can be counted on. His promises can be relied upon. We don't have to waver. And so we see these great and precious promises that are exceedingly great that God brings to us page after page of the Scriptures. And so we need to lift our expectations today because of His promises, because He makes them and keeps them. We can have bold expectations of God. Bold expectations. You see, when we have bold expectations concerning God and His Word, it really opens the door for the supernatural to take place in our lives. When we cling to His Word and boldly proclaim it, boldly cling to it, it opens the door for the miraculous to take place. Bold expectations. And so we, in doing so, being bold, we can have great expectations. We have expectations concerning God's blessing. We have expectations concerning God honoring His Word and thus honoring us with His Word. We have great expectations of the concerning the favor of God upon our life. Now, and sometimes, you know, there's certain language people struggle with, and sometimes it's because the words have been hijacked by sometimes charlatan preachers who have misused the Scripture. But I want you to understand that the favor of God is real. I want to ask you this week, was there anything that you favored one of your children with that you didn't mind? You understand what I'm saying? We've got this. During college, we figured out how to transfer money to Caleb living off from home. And he introduced to us a cash app. It's amazing how that works. You send a cash request, and all that is incumbent upon the parent to do is grant the request. That's all. It leaves your account and goes into their account. It's amazing. So last night at 9:30, when he goes back to Athens, Georgia, whom has a full-time job at a church in Athens, and he stops to get gas, he just sends a cash request to take care of his gas. I, as the father, grant the request. What I want you to understand is this, when concerning the favor of God, if I would do that for my boys, if I would do that I was capable of doing, what I'm saying is I could have been in a position where I could not have in the flesh. But because He asked of me something that I was capable of doing, and because we love Him and want to do as much as we possibly can, and especially if we can get them home from time to time, A point is, how much more so would our God? Because I'm merely man, I'm with limitations. So let us, there should be an expectation, if I'm in Christ, that He will favor me. I don't say that from a standpoint of any arrogance, or we shouldn't ever approach anything as God doesn't have to do anything. You see, the fact of the matter is, there have been and there will be times when Caleb or Joshua ask for something that I don't give it to them, and that's also a favor. I want us to just get that in our mind. That is just as much a favor as the receiving. Sometimes the withholding is just, and sometimes it may be even more powerful, the impact. So I want us to understand favor from a biblical standpoint. James said, it's also repeated again, another part of Scripture says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, sometimes God resists me, and it wasn't the devil. Sometimes it's not the devil, sometimes it's God. Because maybe there's something going on inside of me, and he'll put up his hand. Not because he doesn't favor me, not because he doesn't like me, not because he's angry with me, but because he's God. And as his child, he understands me and he says, not today. But he gives grace to the humble. Sometimes he's just wanting to change us. Like I was talking about earlier, he's wanting to transform us. But we have an expectation of His favor. Would you say amen to that today? You have an expectation of His favor. There's an expectation you should have of Him honoring you. It's an expectation that you should have that He's going to bless your life and is blessing your life. It's an expectation that He'll bring a breakthrough when a breakthrough is needed. Amen? And it's on His Word. Joshua 8. The Lord said to Joshua, take your spear and I want you to raise it toward Ai, and I'll give you a great victory over Ai. But you take your spear. So here, that's the word of the Lord, right? That's chapter 8, Joshua, verse 8. I think verse 8 or verse 18. It's slipping past. There's lots of eights. You get down to verse 26, it says Joshua took the spear and he lifted it up toward Ai, and God wrought a great victory. What did he do? He just did what God said. I'm telling you, if we'll just do what God says do, we can expect a breakthrough. If we'll do what God says do, we can expect Him to move mightily, mightily. Micah 2 and 13, I used this some weeks ago, talking about God being the breaker, the one who breaks strongholds. And there it's talking about God, and that word there is the breaker, the Him being one who can break things down and cause things to be. And it says concerning the Messiah in Micah 2:13, whom we in the context will see as the breaker, that one that breaks things. It says the breaker, if it's translated that way, the breaker brought a breakthrough, and they was able to come into the gates. So what I'm telling you is that when from God we can have an expectation because of who He is. Because of who He is. Because of who He is. Because of who He is, that He will break through those strongholds in our life and our family's life, because that's the kind of God He is. And we can have an expectation of victory. 2 Samuel 23, my favorite story in the world, begins with verse 8 of 2 Samuel 23. It tells us there about the mighty men, the mighty men that surrounded David. We read about Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada of Kabzeel, who went down in a pit with a lion on a snowy day, who wrought a great victory. Before that, he had fought two lion-like men. After that, he fought a goodly, great Egyptian man. That goodly, I always thought, that's King James. That's a unique word. Goodly Egyptian man who was really a giant of a man. He had a spear like a weaver's beam. It was huge. He wrought a great victory there. We get all the way down. There's a bunch of them mentioned in that passage of Scripture. And we get down to Shema. Shema was defending a field of beans. But they're in the midst of battle. He defends a field of lentils. Something that nobody else even felt was important, I'm sure. I don't know. But Shema, all I know is Shema said, well, I'm going to take care of the lentils. I'm going to take care of the garden. And maybe he was a lot like me. He wanted to eat. I don't know. He didn't want people to steal the stuff. He said, hey, I got the refrigerator, guys. No, what we saw there was Shema. It's the one who's always present. God is always present. God showed up in that man's life. Maybe he felt strongly towards something that nobody else of all the mighty men felt strongly about. And they said, I've got to defend that. But God showed up, because He was willing to make a stand and be present when nobody else was there. And I want to tell you, He's the God of Shema. He'll be present with you, even on things and during times. I want to tell you, the promises of God are yea and amen in your life, even when it may not seem important to other people. But you know this is important. This is important to me. And there's a God who looks at us. He says, I'll be there with you. As long as you have the right spirit and the right attitude, you're not prideful. But He gives grace to the humble. I want to tell you today, we have been blessed with promises. And they are yes and amen. Could we just make that declaration today? I'm gonna just say we've been blessed with a promise. Then don't you say yes? Don't you? I mean, give it to me. I know Herb can. I've seen him do this. He'll actually, if you're standing this close to him, he'd punch you, because it's. I have been blessed with the promises, and amen. I'll tell you, this is beautiful. Because this is all I've got to hang on to. The promise that He said, if I would call upon the Lord and believe upon Him, I'd be saved. I'm hanging on to that. I'm hanging on to that promise. That God so loved me, if I'd believe upon Him, I'm hanging on to that. You see, it's not just all the other things. Our very faith hangs on us believing in the promises of God. And everything else attached to it is hanging on us having faith in the promises of God. And the same God who saves is the same God who will bring a breakthrough in your family. The same God who gave His only begotten Son will bring a breakthrough in your finances. The same God who saves will bring a breakthrough in your health. The same God who saves will just show up when you're all alone, or even in a big crowd, but you're all alone in terms of help that you need. There's a God who will show up. Just believe. Don't waver. His promises are what? Yes and amen to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Be here tonight at 6:30. But before we leave, I want us to stand, and I want everybody who needs prayer today to come forward. The rest of you can consider yourself dismissed. I love you. Have a wonderful day.